Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good morning to you. Hi there. This is Patrick Timpone. It is the 29th of July, Thursday, 10 o'clock Central Time, pre-recorded show. So please hold your emails and calls. But our guest has a busy schedule, and we just want to get her in. And I think you're going to enjoy hearing from her. I've seen some interesting videos with Dr. Jane Ruby over the last 6 months or so, and I think you'll enjoy it. So I know we will. We're going to do it. Dr. Jane Ruby is here, and she's a medical professional. She worked in the pharmaceutical drug development area for a long time, over 20 years, and in the whole FDA and area. She also published International Health Economist, who has appeared on TV shows across America. She's really been getting in and around a lot of the different talk shows because of her work with this whole COVID phenomenon, whatever the heck it is. And she has a book here that we're going to talk about as well. I'll give you the little thing here. You'll look at it again, A Sea of New Media. And goodness knows. Dr. Ruby, very pleasant. Good morning. Thanks for being here. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you, Patrick. It's great to be with you and your audience today. Sorry for my big green screen, but we are really in a studio. So, you know, we have all kinds of things going on here in the studio.
Yes, we do. It's not easy being green. I think that was Kermit that said that, Doc. You know, I've been in the media since 1968, Armed Forces Radio. Mm. I've never seen anything as bonkers as this is, wow. I mean, is this like, you know, you study this stuff, you wrote a whole book on it. Is this at all surprising to you that it has come to this with this much globalist, internationalist control over the media?
Well, I think it's worse than that, to be honest with you. I think that everything we endured in 2020 was just really sort of a bunch of distractions. I personally believe we're in the middle of a Marxist takeover of our country. I know that sounds pretty dramatic, but I don't know how to make it sound any more serious. And that's a combination of what I've been watching. I was in D.C. for 10 years. I was a political activist. I worked in the Office of Presidential Correspondence, so I had my ear to the ground with a lot of information and made a lot of relationships with intelligence people and military people. And so when I put all that together, just that appears to be, you know, what's happening right now. And so what's frightening to me is something you just mentioned, Patrick, which is the lockstep nature of this across the entire world. That's particularly frightening to me. When people liken this to the Nazis, I say to them, that was one country and one dictator. We have every country, every politician almost, every public policy group, every, you know, a government, it seems, that are all, you know, screaming and saying the same things in the same way. So I'm very frightened about this for all of us. I think the window of time narrows between when you can do something about this, which is why I'm trying to get this information out as much as possible, mm-hmm. especially on the injections. I think the injections are part of it.
Wow. Yeah. We'll get there. On the media, I guess, are we talking about essentially globalist, Dr. Ruby, in your opinion, of the World Economic Forum, Agenda 21, the UN, this whole crowd, the bankers, just kind of controlling all the media? Do you see that's what, am I close there, or do you have other insights?
Well, I think you're close. It resonates with what I feel it's part of. I mean, I think the bottom line is that the media worldwide, but especially in the United States, over the last, and I'm not an expert in this, but over the last maybe 30 years or so, became very corporatized, right? And even healthcare, we are living in the middle of a collision between medicine and politics, and it's very dangerous, very dangerous. But the media has been corporatized so that you have these large corporations and big tech now telling media what to say, what not to say. And it's really just a giant global propaganda machine, that's for sure,
yeah.
Which is all the more reason why we need to rely on each other, people like you and the shows you're doing, all of us with our cell phones capturing information, because we're not going to have any kind of communication much, I mean, pretty soon. That's my fear. Sure.
So it's not just the people, the Murdochs or the Time Warners at Disney's who are owning these places, but then we also have the incredible amount of advertising that goes in, right, to all the media for Big Pharma. So they must have an incredible lock on this whole thing.
It seems so, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean,
they seem to get whatever they want. The usual agencies that we have relied on previously are essentially gone. They're not working for us anymore. We have no DOJ. We have no FBI. I mean, I'm saying these organizations do not work for the people anymore. We certainly don't have an FDA or a CDC. They're all, I think they're all under the same, you know, effort right now.
Right.
And it's clear to me because after 20 years in pharmaceutical research, a very regulated industry, highly regulated, everything seems to have gone out the window. And like I've said, there doesn't seem to be a threshold of death or destruction that is stopping this thing. So I think they're going to go for broke.
Really? How far back, Dr. Ruby, does the unholy alliance with Big Pharma, FDA, CDC go? Do you know? I mean, they've been in it for a long time together?
You know, Patrick, it's really hard to say. I'm not on the inside of those kinds of, you know, agencies, things like that. I mean, I would only be speculating, and I don't like to do a lot of conspiracy stuff.
Right.
But I will say to you that it seems like they really closed in on it altogether very quickly as of maybe the last few years. When we look in retrospect, I mean, certainly in the last 18 months, I fear they're not done. I mean, I fear they're going to go for broke. In fact, I live now in the state of Florida, and we've had an amazing 6 to 8 months under a governor who was very wide open to the truth that this thing was, you know, that vaccines were, or injections rather, they're not vaccines, but injections were voluntary, that things were going well. And we've actually been a role model for the country. And it doesn't surprise me that if you look at the news lately, the mainstream news, they are coming after Florida.
Yes.
And they're trying to corner the governor into another lockdown.
Yes. Yes, they are. And I'm in Texas, so we have Governor Abbott. So I think we may be part of the new United States. If we have a new one, it would probably be Florida and Texas.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Greg Abbott is a bit of a rhino. He's not been reliable 100%.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, you know, we've been very disturbed lately. Governor DeSantis a few days ago made a statement that shocked everyone in Florida.
About the vaccine.
He said that the hospitals were filled with people with COVID overflowing and that they were unvaccinated. That's 100% not true.
That's just not true.
We don't know how he's gotten that kind of wrong information. But we think that he's getting fed all of this and being pushed to force us into another lockdown, because what better way to take down the rest of the country than to take down its star state, which is Florida right now. And then I would say Texas. I would agree with you. Texas
with
is
Texas
the next.
Too. Yeah, it was. Abbott was so funny because at some point he was doing really well and not buying into the whole thing. And then, boy, one night he woke up and, man, it was masking and everything. I don't know who got to him. But now he's coming out and actually saying, Dr. Ruby, that I don't care what Biden says, we're not going to do mask mandates in Texas. So we'll see what he's made out of. And but I didn't realize he was a real rhino, but I guess he is. Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. I don't mind. You know, you've watched my videos before. Yeah. You know I'm not afraid to express my opinion. And I'm welcome to be wrong, to be honest with you, Patrick. I pray to God every day that I'm wrong on all of this, but I can't be proven wrong yet. So we'll see what happens. We have a lot of moving parts right now. Things are very dangerous. I want people to be aware of this.
Mm-hmm.
We need everybody to sit up and take notice and watch the trends right now that are happening. I mean, we have a, you know, I don't even know where to begin. I'm going to let you guide me because this is your show, but there's just so much.
Well, we have a lot to talk about. So this past weekend, last weekend, everywhere, France and Paris and UK and everywhere around Europe, these people were really out in the street. I mean, big time, saying no vax passports and whatever. So I'm the most positive guy in the world, but I like to look at what could happen. Do you think this would force the all these people, whoever they are, to really step on the gas this fall because they might be losing control? What do you think?
I think they were always going to step on the gas. This is going to go forward as far as they can push it.
Really?
This has nothing to do with, how many people protest or don't protest. You know, kudos to our European citizen, fellow citizens for a great turnout. You notice the United States was fairly quiet. There were a few cities that had, but I think that's because the attempts at oppression and medical tyranny are more advanced right now in Europe, Australia, particularly. And so I think that the people are feeling the pain of it much more. We've kind of, had an up and then a down, and we're kind of in this little honeymoon phase right now, but we have to be very vigilant. There are some really serious things coming, and we have to be prepared to push back on them before they get a big stronghold.
So, yeah, I saw where in California they want people that are vaxxed to do some kind of a sticker so they don't have to wear a mask. That kind of stuff is pretty spooky, isn't it, Dr. Rumi?
It is. And, it reminds me of a quote by the esteemed abolitionist Frederick Douglass, one of my favorite quotes in the world. And he basically says, the endurance of tyrants is really dependent on how long the people will put up with it. And I didn't give you the exact quote, but that's really the feeling behind it. How much more are you going to take as the citizenry? Mm-hmm. How afraid are you going to be? Live in faith, not fear. And so, the longer the people take it, whether it's in the U.S. or in Europe or Australia or whatever, in Australia, they're down to physically being forced vaccinated.
Yeah, I've
the
heard.
Only chance they have is the citizenry rising up. You don't have anything else. They have no courts. And we're not far behind. We don't have courts, Patrick. We saw the United States Supreme Court, which was supposedly loaded with a majority conservative side. We saw them turn their backs on what we witnessed in real time, which was a fraudulent election.
Exactly.
They literally turn their backs and face the wall. How dangerous is that? If you don't think we've lost our institutions and our three branches of government, that they're not all under this oppression, this CCP, whatever this thing is, you're not paying attention.
Whatever this thing is. Yeah, I mean, you think we're ever going to know what...
The monster.
I mean, the government position is still to this day that Lee Harvey Oswald fired... 12 shots with a carbine from, will we ever know the truth about what's going on here?
I don't know if we'll ever know the truth, but all I'm telling everyone is, you better get up off the sofa and stop watching the reality shows, because it's not going to be too much longer before you're seeing atrocities and you won't have any ability to do anything about it. What I basically tell people is, as far as I can see, and with the experts that know more than me on this prepping and this whole issue, is to coalesce with like-minded people in your communities. Take back your school boards. Take back your county commissions. Tell them you'll hold a quorum right there and vote them right out and start over. Because if you don't grab them now and shake this up and change it, you are going to be under a broader and broader source of power. And you just won't be able to come out of your house without being shot or imprisoned.
Man, this is really like crazy what's going on. I never thought we'd see it in our country. I am must be so naive and gullible that I just never thought we'd ever get to this point. Wow.
Well, we're Americans. Most of us are the progeny of these pioneering immigrants who came at the turn of the century, who left the homelands they loved for a country, and they told us to kiss the ground we walked on here. It was the land of opportunity. We were smug. We never thought it would happen. We never thought we could be taken down or surrender to oppression. But look at 2020. I couldn't believe how many Americans caved, including Black Americans, who you would think, given the fact that they're very sensitive, and I don't blame them, to the history of American slavery, they were brought over not only in chains, but they need to know they were brought over with muzzles, face muzzles and masks, because they were told not to speak, that their master would speak for them. And the way I've seen American Blacks and Americans in general gravitate to this mask thing of surrender and loss of identity just blows my mind.
Yes. Yeah.
It blows my mind.
We have a big food chain here in Texas, Dr. Ruby, HEB, 600 stores, good company. But to this day, we see people, half of them still in the store wearing masks. And I don't even know what it's about.
Fear, right?
They must just watch. But you know, when you look at the numbers, though, and you wrote a whole book on the media, A Sea of New Media. If you look at the numbers, I mean, Alex Jones got 10 times more people than CNN. 20 times, I don't know. I mean, there are not that many people watch MSNBC and CNN anymore. I mean, where are they getting all this propaganda?
Well, I think it spreads, you know, once you get you light the match of fear, it spreads through the citizenry. If you remember, there was a phenomenon last year of when the masks were hot and heavy and everyone was afraid and we had never seen this kind of oppression before. Citizens actually turned on citizens, okay? That's how the Nazis, who were a tiny, tiny group, the SS, okay, they were a tiny group, but they were effective because they utilized the citizenry against each other. Hmm. Anne Frank would never have died, and her family wouldn't have died in the camps had they not been turned in by neighbors, okay, who thought they were doing, you know, the right thing. But they literally turned. So we had people throwing us out of stores for not wearing a mask all last year, calling the police. I had the Palm Beach County Sheriff called on me once because I dared walk into a hall of a hotel without a mask on to see if someone was there that I was meeting. And then I quickly walked out and they called the sheriff on me. So, I mean, we had the citizenry well trained to do the work of the tiny elites. And that's how it works, Patrick. That's how it works.
Wow. Dr. Jane Ruby is with it. Her latest book is A Sea of New Media. Also, I can give you a little clip here if you'd like to check her out on one of the few places that are having fun now, which is Telegram, right? Which is, this is how you get to on Telegram, t.me/Dr. Jane Ruby. I'm going to get on your channel and check you out. So you get on there all the time and put up cool stuff?
Yeah, I actually was banned again for the second time permanently from Twitter. I had started a new account and I went to almost 20,000 followers in 2 months. So that's how the word was getting out.
Wow.
And I think it probably hit their algorithms because, you know, there was just too much following on that. So Facebook tends to be a slower platform. I'm not crazy about it, but I use it only to get the word out. But to be honest with you, there's much more energy and fast moving news that I can break on Telegram. And it gets disseminated, I think, more widely across the Telegram other Telegram channels. So I think for now, that's probably a great place to find my most up-to-date stuff and fast-breaking stuff as well.
So let's talk about up-to-date stuff. What can you share with us, some fun things or fun or whatever, creative things that you're seeing out there in the world of whatever, be freedom, press, or this whole COVID phenomenon that maybe our listeners around the world haven't heard yet? What are some things that you've been uncovering in the last couple weeks?
Well, I don't know if people understand how dangerous these injections are, but these are not vaccines. They're not vaccines by any definition of the word. A vaccine confers immunity or some kind of protection against a virus or some disease. These don't do anything of the sort. In fact, they, by their own admission, the company's own admission, they use a technology never before tested in humans because they couldn't get past the animal studies. They all died. And this is this mRNA technology in a lipid nanoparticle. Now, nanoparticles are so tiny, they have to be seen under an electron microscope, which means that the minute you put them in someone's muscle in their arm, listen to this concept, it almost immediately goes into the bloodstream and into every cell in your body. You might say, well, Dr. Ruby, how does it do that? That's really far-fetched. Yep. 20,000 leagues under the sea. But I said to you, it's a nanoparticle. When you have a cell wall, it's not a block wall. Those nanoparticles are so small they can get in. And what they do when they get in is they deposit this genetic coding that drives your cells over and over and over again with no stop mechanism that we have yet found to produce billions of something called the spike protein, which is actually a toxic pathogen. It's when it's found naturally on a coronavirus, a real one, it tends to be the part of the virus that makes you very sick because it has the ability to stick to your other cells and make you sick. So you're just you become a factory for these spike proteins. What we have also found is a group of Spanish researchers we reported on the Stu Peters Show, Spanish researchers from a group that calls themselves La Quinta Columna. And what they did was they were able to get a vial, a Pfizer vial that was sealed with a lot number. And they looked at it under a microscope. Then they put it under an electron microscope. And what they saw was something that looked to them very similar, and to their experts, similar to something called graphene oxide, which is a very toxic industrial compound. It is actually used in a lot of areas, you know, outside of the human body. Mm-hmm. But we're seeing all kinds of illnesses and things like that. People ask me, well, why are some people, I have family members who took it and they look fine. They never had any concern. We don't know. We think there are different things in these injections across the four companies at different times. And one of the things we discovered recently was I've gotten a lot of questions around the Novavax. This is coming down the pike. They're going to apply for their emergency use authorization this fall. And so I did some digging into it, and that's all, everything I report on, by the way, Patrick, is in the public domain. There are no secret papers. There's nothing you can't find yourself. And so what we found was that on the Novavax site, and if you look at other reports that people use pictures, what they do is they get you the mRNA and the spikes into your body, but they do it a slightly different way. And what they do is instead of putting the mRNA inside your body, they put it inside a moth, because they use a baculovirus that infects animals, moths, and spiders. And the moth makes billions of spikes. Now, I'm not done. Then the company takes the spikes from the moth as they produce them, embeds them into something possibly like a graphene oxide nanoparticle. That's the delivery system. And there you have your toxic spikes, millions of them, embedded in this lipid nanoparticle that then gets put into your body gets into every cell and starts to wreak havoc. Now, the spike proteins seem to have an affinity for brain cells, heart cells. They tend to collect in the ovaries, the testicles, things like that. So we're seeing infertility. We're seeing these myocarditis, this inflammation of the heart. Mm-hmm. We're seeing sudden heart attacks and strokes in 20, 30, 40-year-olds with no prior illnesses. So I know that's a lot of information, but people need to know what we're up against. And you need to, when people write to me, Patrick, it just blows my mind when they say, you know, Dr. Ruby, what should I do in order to go back to work? I have to get this shot, or my son's going to. Yeah. Dude.
Don't do it.
Just wait. Is any college, you know, you could put it off for a couple of years till we figure this thing out and hopefully get ourselves out of it.
Yes, ma'am.
Because your college degree is not going to help you if you have Guillain-Barré, a neurological illness that comes out of a lot of these injections. Or have you seen those pictures of, I've got four women who verified for me, they're in constant tremor. You can't even sleep. Is that worth your job or your college degree?
Yes, ma'am.
Find another way to make money right now. Protect yourself and your family.
I kind of lost you a bit on the moth. The reason I ask is because we recently talked to Dr. Kaufman, Andrew Kaufman, and he was talking about the book called The Iron Lung and the Moth, and how that played a role in the whole polio thing, which wasn't a virus, really. It was just some DDT, and it was involved with moths.
Well, there's no connection to what I'm explaining.
Okay. That was different.
I'm saying that the Novavax company in Gaithersburg, Maryland, uses moths to generate the spike proteins. They put the genetic code in the moth instead of you, but they take the spike protein production, they put it into a lipid nanoparticle, and they get that into your body. That's not a safer, it's not a vaccine, and it's not safer. So,
gotcha.
You know, don't equate, yeah.
So, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is there any doubt with you, Dr. Jane Ruby, that there are forces, whoever these people are, that simply want to hurt us and kill us?
Well, they're certainly not helping us, Patrick. We know from recent reports that Attorney Thomas Renz, who's from the state of Ohio,
yes,
made an announcement recently that he has an internal whistleblower who apparently is not just with the CDC VAERS database, but who's in the federal government with access to VAERS,
yes,
as well as three, I understand is the report, three other reporting systems that they use internally, and that person says the number of American deaths is really about 45,000. That doesn't surprise me at all. But let me say this, Patrick, even if it was just the what it appears to be on VAERS as the 5,000 or 6,000, let me just share. I've been in pharmaceutical drug development for 20 years, as I said, very regulated. Pharmaceutical research always goes in a certain progression. It starts with petri dishes, then animals. That's called preclinical. Then when you go into humans, you're in the clinical research phase. So I just wanted to share, I kind of forgot where I was going with that. We were talking about, I've told the story so many times. We're talking about, this whole process. Remind me of the question. Help me out.
Yeah, where were we? We were going we're just going to have to, it'll come back to it.
I know what I was going to tell you, Patrick.
Sorry.
Animals.
Animals, right.
Sorry, my mistake. Animals. This is important, and I'm sorry if I just got a little mental glitch.
Don't worry.
When we were working, I worked for a company that previous to my getting there was developing the drug Celexa for depression. Here's what it was. When they were in the animal studies, they test the drugs in various species of animals and then breeds within. When they had six beagle dogs that ended up having a heart attack on this drug in the preclinical, the animal phases, right? They shut that, the FDA shut that study down for those six dog deaths, right? And now we have 6,000 children, human deaths. Where is it going to end? And nobody's shutting anything down. This is the big concern we have. This is the frightening part of it. When I say there doesn't seem to be a threshold of death and destruction that will turn this thing off and stop it, they're doubling down. They're demanding more testing and vaccinations. My apologies. What I meant to say was in regular pharma research, we shut studies down for animals that died. And until the company could go back and reassure the FDA that indeed, we figured this out, it's not going to transfer to human beings. And here we are now in 2021 with maybe 45 to 50,000, maybe more deaths just in the U.S. Let's not even talk about Europe. And yet there's no sign of any agency saying, whoa, let's slow this thing down. Let's find out if this thing is too dangerous. I mean, Patrick, it's dangerous, right?
We know that.
It's dangerous.
We know that. So was the swine flu thing stopped for like a handful of deaths?
Yes, absolutely right.
Interesting.
You got it. It's exactly my point. And they responsibly stopped it. Sometimes you can go from the animal studies into the humans and have everything, result with no deaths, no serious adverse events in the animals. Then you go to move into your small numbers of humans to test it, and boom, you get a signal, you get an illness or a death. And that's okay, because you couldn't see that ahead of time. But Patrick, they knew the animals all died in these mRNA studies with SARS-CoV-1. Then when they went to this one, they thought we better skip the animals, and they were allowed to skip the animal studies because they knew the animals would die and they'd never be able to get it into the humans. And basically what they're doing is they're using the world as their testing ground or killing ground. I don't know.
I'm really interested in this whole idea of emergency use and then approval. And other governors are talking about if they get approval, then they're going to change their stance. So I'm going to ask Dr. Ruby about that after we take this little break, because I've been wanting to ask someone like you who probably knows, but let's do this first.
Starving for vitality, we're turning to energy drinks, stimulants, and pharmaceuticals to try to improve our focus, increase our metabolism, rescue our sex drive, and adapt to the stresses of modern day living. Each year, an elk sheds its impressive antlers, regenerating an even larger set the following year. These velvet antlers have been a revered traditional medicine for thousands of years. Elk antler harnesses the adaptogenic and highly regenerative growth factors from this natural and ethical resource into a concentrated, bioavailable extraction. Its revitalizing effects span bone, muscle, and nerve support, improve metabolism, cellular repair, sexual potency, anti-inflammation, vascular strengthening, and hormone production. Humanely harvested from free-range U.S. elk, extracted in organic alcohol, and protected in mirror on glass, our elk antler is available in three strengths to restore your vitality at any level.
Great sale going on still through tomorrow night, Friday night at midnight. That'll be tomorrow night at midnight if you use promo code FIT15, F-I-T-15, for Survival Elk Velvet Antler. This is great stuff. It's from free range, as he said. It's in New Zealand, and they don't drug up the elks, and they don't put tourniquets on them and hypnotize them or anything. They just go up and take all the velvet off there, and they use it, and they make elk velvet. It's very powerful. If you can imagine, these elk grow these incredible racks in 6 months, and then they fall off and they do it again. That'll show you some of the mojo and the energy and the voltage in the elk. So it's pretty cool. It's a wonderful thing that I take almost every day in my life. Not that what I do matters to you, but you know, I'm doing pretty well, doing very well actually. So check it out. And sale ends tomorrow night, midnight. Survival. Use promo code FIT15. FIT15. Here's a product that anyone could take probably the rest of their life, and you're going to be happier.
We were talking to Wayne Blakely, the Living Streams guy, and he told us some interesting things about sulfur.
When we eat the glyphosate, and what it does, it inhibits the plant from uptaking any minerals and nutrients from the soil.
Right, right.
And the plants die. Okay, so that's what it does to us. When we eat the glyphosate, exactly the same thing. It stops the uptake of minerals, and especially sulfur. And sulfur causes people... We're made up of 52% sulfur, take away the water, okay? And we're sulfur beings. We have to have sulfur to keep us sane. We have to have sulfur in our brains to keep us sane. Otherwise, we get manic, you know, bipolar, things like this, and you have to be on drugs. That's all caused from the glyphosate.
Yeah, we've heard that about the sulfur. We've had Stephanie Seneff on from MIT.
Yeah, I know Stephanie.
Yeah, do you? And the whole sulfur cycle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we probably would be eating sulfur every day, whether the glyphosates are there or not. But this is another good reason. People just feel better taking it. Brings oxygen everywhere. You can order sulfur. Three prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide. Email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, if you want to order more than 4 pounds and a discount. Sulfur, organic sulfur. Yeah, it's the real deal. There's no silicone dioxide, nothing else but pure organic sulfur on oneradionetwork.com.
I live out in the country, and I guess about 6 months ago, we began promoting this company that has a really interesting air purifier. And so I got one because I thought, well, I don't know, you know, even out in the country. And this is the coolest thing ever, and they got some sales going on with it right now called the Air Doctor. Check this out. So I'm mostly vegetarian, but I eat bacon. I think I'm going to do a book, you know, the vegetarian bacon diet. So, and you can cook bacon, and then about 3 minutes after you start cooking the bacon, all of a sudden this air doctor starts revving up its little fan, right, which is about 20 feet away, and it just sucks up all the smoke and the bacon smell until it's done, and then it goes back down to normal. It's a trip. It's just a really high-tech kind of thing, but it's very quiet, and it's about as big as a tower computer, a little bit bigger, but it's a wonderful thing, and it's very easy to change the filters too. They have two different filters, super easy to change, and it tells you when you need to change and puts a little light on. Very, very clever technology, and some all kinds of sales going on with it now through the 2nd of August on our website. It's called Air Doctor, and you can buy one and then get 50% off for a second one and that kind of thing. So you could get with somebody, a friend, and you both get one, and you could really do some real savings. So check it out. It's on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com called Air Doctor. It's a beautiful machine, and they got different models. But again, if you're getting like to buy one and they get a 50% off on another one, just get with somebody, and you get two of them and rock and roll. The Air Doctor, it's on One radionetwork.com. I think you'll enjoy it. And especially if you live in the city and you're getting fumes from God knows where, it's a good thing to have around.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
We're talking with a nice lady, Dr. Jane Ruby, and she is into all kinds of fun things that we love to talk about. She was in pharmaceutical drug development for over 20 years. So, Dr. Ruby, you were right there in the belly of the beast. I mean, working with drug development, that's pretty spooky thing just to be there. How'd you make it out of there alive, girl?
Well, I wasn't expressing opinions at the time, Patrick.
I guess not. Maybe
that I kept myself safe. But so I'll take all prayers for a hedge of protection. But anyway,
good for you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
All right.
No, I was just going to say, for the majority of the time I spent in pharma, and actually, because no one's ever asked me that question, you're very insightful. I believed in a lot of the different, drugs that I ended up working on the launch team. So
Did you?
I recently left because I didn't feel comfortable to do that, to be part of that anymore while we figure this thing out.
Sure. This emergency use authorization, I saw an article. I have a friend who lives up in Ohio, and she sent me, and the governor up there, DeWine or somebody, says, well, as long as it's still emergency use, we're not going to require maybe mandatory vaxes or masking, but as soon as the FDA approves these things, then we're going to maybe go back. So, they couldn't just approve it, could they, Dr. Ruby? They'd have to go through and do a whole testing thing, would they not? Or am I to be naive?
You're being naive, Patrick. It's worse than that. If we could rely on the FDA to be ethical, to follow its own regulatory rules,
yes, ma'am,
we wouldn't be in the situation we're in right now. And I say that with all due respect. The reason I say it is this. A lot of people might be interested to know that the only way you can legally provide an emergency use authorization, the FDA, is if there are no existing safe and effective approved other treatments, which there are. So now you know why everybody in a position of authority with the White House and all these other folks last year, Fauci and the whole and company, bashed ivermectin and HCQ because they had to create an illusion that those things were not safe, not approved specifically for COVID, which is a lot of baloney. And over 500,000 people died in the United States that did not have to die. And here's the other part of the sham. I fully expect the FDA to approve these shots, in spite of the fact that we have 50,000, 100,000, how many deaths? I don't know. I fully expect them to approve it because they've been in lockstep with this evil force from the beginning that this started. So I do believe, and I think that entities like the military, other businesses, hospital systems that are saying to their people, hey, look, we're going to let you off the hook right now, but to be honest with you, when this thing goes FDA, we don't have any choice. We're going to have to mandate it. That's baloney, Patrick. They're setting everybody up for that. I say find another job for now. I know the military, they're between a rock and a hard place right now. But I think people need to understand the EUA sham from the beginning, number one.
EUA?
And number two,
EUA?
The emergency use authorization.
Okay. All right.
I think people need to understand what a sham and a fraud that whole thing was from the beginning, because they would never have been able to legally authorize, not approve, these shots, right, from last year till now, if they had acknowledged that there were safe and effective treatments like HCQ, hydroxychloroquine, and ivermectin. But people can get them if they go to America's Frontline Doctors website. I'm not a part of it.
Sure.
I don't get anything for it. But it's the only place I know right now. You can go to their website. You click on a tab at the top that says COVID medication. You'll fill out a medical form. If you're sick, you have some cold symptoms, and you just want to be on the safe side, these drugs are pretty safe and effective to take in general. A physician will review it. If everything looks okay, the next call you get is from a pharmacy that's working with them in your region of the United States, and they will overnight the medication to you. Either you can say, if I'm not having symptoms, you want it preventatively to keep in your closet, they'll do that too. So that's, before they shut it down, avail yourselves of that. Now, I wanted to say one other thing about the emergency use authorization. Because when they say, well, there's ivermectin and HCQ are not approved by the FDA for COVID, that is true. But that doesn't mean that doctors and nurse practitioners can't prescribe it. That only means that it cannot be promoted by the companies that make those drugs, right? So it's really important for people to understand how they have jerked you around and lied to you and shammed you by going in and around these little rules.
Don't the MD people have, and the term is not in my consciousness at the moment, have this thing that they can't do something unless it's kind of approved? What is it called? Do you know what I'm getting at?
There's either an authorization, which is temporary, and it's based on an emergency situation, which I don't think we have an emergency situation anymore. But when the FDA comes in to give an approval, a drug approval requires that the company prove through its data that the product is, quote, safe and effective. Safe and effective are legal terms. And they're not like the layperson who says, oh, yeah, that tractor over there is safe to use. Just jump on it and wear a helmet. No. These are specific technical terms. And in order to get deemed approved safe and effective by the FDA, at least until this whole thing, you had to, as a pharma company, demonstrate a certain level compared to placebo of safety and of efficacy.
And RFK Jr. and other people, they've sued in FOIA, and they've got no safe and effective on any of these vaccines, much less this.
Correct. They're not vaccines, they're not number vaccines. One. Us into using that.
I mean,
term.
even the other ones that are vaccines, they don't have safe and effective things, according to RFK Jr. They just don't have them. They're just not there.
A real vaccine can be exempt, not to prove safety and efficacy, because there are approved vaccines and authorized vaccines. So I'm not sure what you're referring to, what he said. I would prefer to respond to things that I've said rather than to try to clarify something that someone else has said that I didn't hear.
But what I hear you saying, Dr. Ruby, is that the FDA, in their infinite wisdom, they can figure out a way how to say that this injection is approved, and then the governors are going to have a lot more wiggle room to do what they want to do if they're swampy, right?
Well, what you're basically saying is, and I agree, let me rephrase it in my terms. Okay. Once the FDA officially approves these shots, it is going to give tremendous firepower to employers, the military. The military's already been warned. I've seen email exchanges from commanders to their troops saying, brace yourself, because when this gets approved by the FDA, you will be mandated to get it. So it's important to know that once they approve it, it's going to give a lot of firepower to these entities, employers, travel agencies, maybe even our airlines. We have to be, we're going to be in a real hurt, world of hurt, Patrick, because you're going to be faced with making decisions to fly to go see your family.
Sure.
Your family gets sick. I mean, our freedoms are going to be cut off without anyone firing a shot. Well, at least not a gunshot.
That's what Attorney Renz said the last time we had him on, the gentleman you alluded to, a good man, by the way, as you know. He said,
Very good.
The government's coming out and saying we're not going to do mandate this or that. And he said, I guess about a month ago, well, this is a false flag, because where it's going to happen is United Airlines and at the companies and Costco or whoever, right? And they can say, you can't do this or you can't do that unless you've had the injection. And he said, this is where the fight is.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And I think attorneys like Tom Renz and Reiner Filmich, and there are a slew of attorneys all over really the world right now that are collaborating and putting these lawsuits together. It's more expeditious, they say, if they can get these lawsuits up and running to slow things down before these things are FDA or the European equivalent of the FDA is called the EMA, the European Medicines Agency, mm-hmm. and that is the FDA for Europe, the EU. And so their feeling is if they can slow it down, it's going to be much easier while these emergency use authorizations are in place than before we get to FDA approval, which is going to be very bad. That's going to be a very dark day, Patrick, when that happens.
Dr. Jane Ruby is with us, and you can check her out on Telegram. Her latest book is A Sea of New Media. You can tell she knows a lot about this stuff. So what do you make about of 3 or 4 or 5 days ago, CDC and FDA says, you know what, we're going to withdraw these PCR tests that we've known for 18 months were bogus. But so do you think they just got caught and now they're going to just try to back? What do you think? What's going on, in your opinion?
I'm glad you asked me that, Patrick, because I actually just broke it on the Stu Peters show this morning. I'm going to give you a hot mic of information cool. in the next couple of minutes.
Cool.
I knew you'd like that. So for everybody's understanding, so we're all coming from the same page, and your viewers and listeners, the CDC, as Patrick said, actually put out an alert to all labs in the United States saying that, look, hey, we are withdrawing our emergency use request to the FDA for these PCR tests. They're essentially saying they're meaningless and they don't work and they're flawed, okay? Mm-hmm. And here's what they told labs to do. Mm. You have until December 31st, 2021 to look at the FDA website of alternative tests, like we would ever believe those are worthwhile either, right? But anyway, and you need to select, yeah, you need to select one and you need to change your lab, you know, arrangement to put them in place. And you need to make sure that you pick something, watch this, Patrick, that differentiates between influenza, their word, not any type, but influenza, and SARS. Patrick, first of all, let me give you a quick flaw. The SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated from a sick human being as a whole virus.
Never.
That's number one. Number two, they admitted on the FDA website, I've said to you, everything I tell you is discoverable, right? Mm-hmm. They admitted that your lab, these labs all over the world and in the United States have been doing what we call pooled analyses. Do you know what that means, Patrick? Hmm. They, every time you go to get a COVID test, I guarantee you, you're filling out a short 5-question little questionnaire. One of them is, what are your symptoms today? And those are like 10 symptoms. If you check off one or two, they call you a low risk patient. The person next to you could check off 8 of those. They're a high risk. So here's what they're doing. This is what they have been doing since the beginning. They take maybe 9 low risk people. They're allowed to go up to 10. They take that one person who said, I've got 8 of these symptoms. They pool them and they tell all 10 of you, you're positive for COVID.
Really? Whoa.
This is what we busted open. This is a sham. And I think it's important for your people to know because they are about to gaslight us again, Patrick. They are about to come out with explosive, unheard of case numbers again. And I believe that this process of pooling analyses, forget the test. Your result, you got a result that you thought was just yours. This is similar, Patrick, to let's say you went for a cancer biopsy. And your biopsy comes back and it's clean, but nine of you have clean biopsies. One person in the lineup has a positive cancer test. They put you all together, all 10 of you, and they send out a notice to each one of you. Hey, so-and-so, your cancer biopsy is positive, even though you're not, because you were pooled in a high-risk analysis.
Amazing.
This is fraud. It's terrible. It's terrible.
So,
and I believe, Patrick,
go ahead,
that the pool testing not only has been going on from the beginning, but I believe that it's what accounts for all the, remember the positive asymptomatic?
Right.
Remember that? Well, all the people had no symptoms, but they came up with positive tests because they were force tested. You can't go into this store. You can't come back to work until you're tested.
So they're going to ditch the PCR test because they know it's not good. But
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work, of course. But is there actually, there probably isn't a test that could tell because we never isolated the thing anyway. I mean, then the next thing they're going to use will be a fraud too, right, Dr. Ruby?
The PCR test was never designed to detect viral load.
Right.
So it can't tell you if you're sick from a virus. Let's start there.
Right.
Secondly, whatever they choose, I don't even know where they got this list. You're supposed to click on a link, yeah, and you can all go and do it. I haven't looked at the entire list yet, but why are these tests, these alternative tests coming out now, right? So they have this list and they can choose, and they told on the CDC website, it tells laboratories in the United States, choose a multiplex method. Do you know what multiplex means? When you go into a movie theater, right, it's a cinema. It's a multi-cinemaplex. Mm-hmm. Plex is a viewing, right? Multi-views. It's gaslighting on its way in. What they want them to do is to pick two or three to try to make themselves bullet. But here's the crazy part, Patrick. One last thought. They say they don't have to change over until December 31st. Did you hear I said that in the beginning?
Yes. Yeah.
That means you're allowed to use a flawed test that they acknowledge is flawed for the next 6 months. These are tests that have lost people their businesses, caused death and destruction in families. Grandparents have died with nobody there alone because of these tests. And you want to let them go for the next 6 months till you all get situated with new tests in your labs? Patrick, something's very wrong.
There's nobody of any import other than you and I and some others, some other good people that are going to ask, well, what about the last 18 months and all these cases? They weren't cases. I mean, come on, somebody has to ask that question.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, I love the way, I think you and I share a brain on some of this. No lab, my guess is that this is a clear case of fraud because my guess is no lab ever called somebody and said, hey, Patrick, your COVID test is positive. And by the way, it's from a pooled analysis. No way. They didn't disclose to you. So it's blinded on only one side to the patient. But Patrick, it's not blinded by the lab. The lab decides how to put the 10 together. So if you have labs who maybe across the country feel we should be in a lockdown because maybe they truly believe they're drinking the Kool-Aid and they think they're doing something good for the country, they can create tens, hundreds of thousands, and tens of thousands of false positives.
So do you think this whole cycle threshold thing was just a false flag too, just to keep us confused? Or they were really running this thing? Yeah, they were running it really at 45, right?
Okay, I misunderstood your question. Are you talking about the PCR cycling?
The PCR cycling thing where even Fauci says anything over 30 is a dead molecule or whatever he said.
Well, Dr. Carrie Mullis, who invented the PCR test, yes, said, first of all, it was never designed to detect viral load. But secondly, it was designed to spin organic material down. But once you spin it too many times, you get base molecules. And if you look at the universe, there's a finite, interestingly, in an infinite world, there's a finite number of elements, right? So eventually you're going to get down to those base elements. It's not telling you anything.
Nothing.
So what do I think they're up to, Patrick? I don't think they're just being benevolent and the PCR test didn't work. Let's get some better ones out. No, they're up to something. What do I think it is? I think they're about to justify a big psyop in the fall. They're going to come at us with gaslighting, with visuals, with 10 times the fear they came from with last year. And they're going to try to get states to close down again. And they're attacking Florida right now. They just came out in the news, you know, the mainstream media. Orlando is on fire with COVID. I can tell you from the middle of Florida down to Miami, everything's wide open. The hospitals are not full of COVID patients. If anything, people are telling me that the patients that are COVID related in hospitals in South Florida right now are vaccinated people that have side effects, but they're not allowed to code it that way. So we know what's happening. We were the role model for the country. We were making them all look embarrassed at the CDC. We were making Fauci look, you know, like a fool because everything was great here and we were wide open. It makes perfect sense to me. They're going to try to take us down first. Remember, as Florida goes right now, the rest of the country goes.
So goes the country.
This will be, Patrick, this will be ground zero for the Civil War.
Really? And Texas will be next, right? We'll be next after Florida, right? We're going to be. So before we go here.
People are not going to lock down again.
No, I don't think they will. So before we go here, do you think that they're going to be able to pull this whole Delta concept variant and it'll just depend on how many people buy into it? What's your opinion?
Patrick, if you've never isolated a complete virus from a sick person, how do you identify a variant of that virus?
Doesn't exist.
This is what we call critical thinking. Take step one. We've never been able to find and prove there's a full virus, then how do I know I can see its children down the line? How do I? And they have admitted that there is no test for the variant. And by the way, let me remind people of this. Viruses burn down, not up. They've been on the planet for billions of years, long before we got here, and they behave in a certain way. Okay, they burn down. Now, new viruses come in and they could be more deadly, but viruses burn down once they plow themselves through a population of animals and humans. So this thing about a variant, it's all they have left, Patrick, to scare people. And people are buying it. And some people, small numbers, wearing, the only people wearing masks down here in Florida are tourists.
So you think that we'll get to the point where the HEBs or the Safeways or the Costcos of the world are going to be mandating masks again? If they, you think they'll pull it off? They, I guess they could. Depends on how many people buy into it, doctor, right? How many people
That's right. If everybody in your town or your city doesn't go to Publix or HEB or whatever, Kroger, whatever your grocery store is, for a week, you'll bring them to their knees. I'm going to leave you with a quick story.
Okay.
It's kind of fun. I had a nail salon locally. They kicked me out a million times because I wouldn't wear a mask, right? Over, you know, the fall, the winter. Here's the great part of the story. About a month ago, they stopped requiring masks, right? So when I walked in, I sat down with my little operator. I said to the person, wow, the owner was so nice. She didn't force, you know, didn't try to make a big deal out of the mask. And you know what he said to me? He said, well, you know what happened? People started to call and say, I want to make an appointment for my nails. And she would say, they would say, but I just have one question. Do you require masks? And when she said yes, they said, okay. They didn't argue. They said, okay, oh, thank you. I'll go somewhere else. And she realized she was losing business. And all of a sudden, it wasn't so important to protect with masks. So
that's the real free market, baby. That's where it is.
There you go. That's right. Yeah. Yes.
That's where it is. Well,
remember those stories.
I got libertarian DNA, so you know I'm white with you there, girl. Well, it's an honor to have
good
you
man.
Here.
Good
you
man.
You are welcome back anytime that you want to come on and just have some fun. You'd be welcome here. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, I know you're busy. God love you. Now, you stay out of trouble now, okay? Okay.
I will do my best, my friend.
May the blessings be. Thank you, Dr. Ruby. Dr. Jane Ruby, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Well, she was a ball of fire, huh? Whew, man, oh, man. Okay, check her out. I'm going to sign up for a little Telegram. I got a couple of people I follow on Telegram, and she's going to be one of them, Dr. Jane Ruby. Good. Great lady. Sea of New Media, it would be her book, and then also on Telegram, and you can check her out. Well, I love you all very much. Thank you. You know, whatever, I just look at all of these things as tests. You know, it's a great idea of, what was the line we used to say in radio years ago? Oh, this is a test. And were this a national emergency, the ban on prayer in schools would be lifted. This is only a test. And these things, in my opinion, spiritually, every one of them, whether it be a common cold or the big cancer cells or, you know, governments trying to, or, you know, psychopaths trying to kill you. Excuse me, I got the hiccups now. They're all really just a test. Just a test. Got the hiccups to see how we'll react. In my opinion, our thing is to just figure out how to do the dance and to do it with as much grace and as charm and as wherewithal and awareness as we can without going into freak mode. This is what these people want to do. They want to scare us and they want us to do dumb things, and that's what they want to do. And they eat fear for breakfast, my opinion. So just stay in truth, talk to God, take care of your family, put away a little food. We don't know what's going to happen this fall. Could get a little crazy, but we're gonna come out of this so much stronger than we've ever imagined, in my opinion. So, well, we have a lot to talk about tomorrow. That'll be Friday, the 30 days out, September, April, June, and November, all the rest of 30. July 30, that'll be tomorrow night. Is that right? Yeah. July 30, Friday night. So I'll see you tomorrow, 10 o'clock Central Time in the morning, OneRadioNetwork.com. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. Appreciate the donations. Appreciate you who use your well-earned Federal Reserve notes, such as they are, to purchase products that we promote. That's how we support ourselves. Thank you very much. I love you, and may the blessings be. Take care of yourself, all right?
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.